Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2008 Q3 Financial and Operational Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. I would now like to hand over to your chairperson, Dr. Dohny. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. We're calling you here from Ankara. We have the Türk Telekom and Aveya executives. I believe that all of you would have had a chance to look at the presentation, so therefore I'll go through the baseline part very quickly, and then I'll hand over to Cüneyt Türkan for the Aveya brief, and then on the financial side, you will hear both from Eren and David Cook, Eren Guran and David Cook, for both Aveya and the TT and consolidated results. We'll take questions, obviously, and then we will close with a statement, so to use this thing very efficiently. I'm on page 3 now of the presentation. Obviously, we're very happy with our results, very much in line with our guidance. We have seen revenue growth 10%, up to 7592. Operating profit up 15%, up to 2192. All this, of course, is in lira. And the net income, obviously, down 6%, to 1680, obviously, due to the foreign exchange losses. On the next slide, we have the regulatory environment. The law has been approved, and we expect that, obviously, to pass now.
With comparison with year-on-year comparison, our sales and marketing expenses still constitute
the injunction in relation to the off-net, on-net mobile pricing regulation, obviously, is still in place. We believe that the new law, however, is going to open an opportunity in that respect. In relation to the mobile number portability, of course, has been launched November the 9th. Fixed number portability in place by May next year. 3G tender by the 28th of November. MVNO regulation expected sometime by mid next year. But as you all know, that we are moving in the direction of a branded service provider in that respect. And we're not waiting for the regulation. We don't really need that necessarily. There are issues there on consultation in relation to double taxation and such matters like 2G or 3G, and we believe that through the consultation these things will be resolved. And those who enter into a branded service provider will have the option of switching to an MVNO if they so deem appropriate. Otherwise, we're not delaying our plans in that respect. WiMAX licenses are expected within the second half of the first half of next year, rather. Competition Authority is expected to release its decision on the investigation in relation to TT and TTNet practices on broadband services. We have actually presented our defense on this in the past few days. The positive discrimination in favor of other ISPs other than TTNet is obviously still in place, and that will be going on to the end of next year as a bare minimum period, depending on what ISPs can pick up in the market. On slide 6, we have had a number of PSTN initiatives. We have, of course, the long distance after 6 p.m. Plan has been approved by the regulator, so that's out there. New PSTN bundles have been sent to the TA for approval, and we're hopeful to achieve, to obtain approvals reasonably soon, as already we have managed so far. In relation to our campaign for DECT phones, that has gone reasonably well, and we expect to extend that as we are currently in the second extension of this. In relation to pay phones with Wi-Fi hotspots, there has been good improvement in relation to the hotspot growth, actually, and we've signed a new contract with a company that is installing these with a good growth. We expect to achieve our target easily by the end of the year. And launching the Wiro service, which basically is a Wi-Fi-based service over PSTN, will be launched in the course of next year. On ADSL, on page 7, again, a number of good initiatives from TTNet, complementing their music, their voice, their portal, which is now up and running, their Wi-Fi, their game portal. They have had a number of interesting campaigns into the market, but as I've indicated earlier on, basically we're really leaving the room for some competition in this area. We're hoping that they will be able to achieve better results. But the only material progress here is the Vitamin product, which is the education software product, which has been launched already, and 40,000 subscribers within the reporting period here. In fact, we've exceeded, obviously, that is growing very fast. And offering this product into the schools is now on track to reach 33,000 schools as opposed to the 31,000 we had indicated earlier. On page 8, on fixed line competition, frankly speaking, Borusan, obviously the acquisition didn't succeed, and Borusan are still focusing on their normal business, and they're actually suffering a lot from the very low on-net mobile termination, charge against termination, which is an area of concern to all the alternative operators. Interestingly, now their problem is mostly anti-competitive behavior by mobile as opposed to Türk Telekom. Telkom Super Online, obviously, they are moving into one company now, and Telkom are selling Super Online service at a very competitive price of about 9.99 lira. And frankly, we haven't seen any very big uptake on this, but there is some campaign in that respect. This is a nationwide campaign, and of course supporting their own fiber to the neighborhood, which obviously is a very targeted campaign to limited parts of the country. Turksat also have launched a product, but obviously they are losing customers. And the most hopeful thing really on this list now is the Kochnet Biri product, an ADSL very aggressive target in the market for 14.9 price for this year and no bound two-year contracts in this. So we hope that they'll pick up some more customers from the new growth. Obviously, also we have the Smile ADSL, which frankly is the largest in the market, but again, they're not really growing that much. In respect of local call licenses, we expect that to be coming to the market sometime next year. And we are being reasonably cooperative in relation to the licensing as we have won the injunction order in that respect. On the next page 9, we have our fixed line revenue and EBITDA highlights, which shows the actual revenue growing by 6% to 6181 and the EBITDA growing by 6% to 3047. Very much in line with our earlier expectations as indicated to you. On 10, we have our customer numbers, PSTN access lines, obviously slight decline as anticipated, and we have some very good progress basically on our churn control and driving customers into better value propositions with our new bundles, and our campaigns in that respect have actually been quite successful. We expect to see better results going forward. The early indications is that we're going very well. By this year, we will have at least 2 million targeted calls, and our success rate there has been very promising. On the PSTN ARPU, we can see the increases here to 25.3, up 3% in Turkish lira, and 24 up to 24.6. On the ADSL side, obviously some limited increase here to 5.5. And again, the only problem here we have, frankly, is weak competition. The guidance we gave by the year end was 6 million, the hope that competition will pick up more numbers. We haven't seen very big growth there, but we hope in the late, you know, latter part of this year and definitely in the first quarter of next year, in the expectation of the lower taxes next year, maybe they'll pick up some more. So TTNet are having some new campaigns to be able to make up some better numbers by the end of the year to reach our targets, which we believe are very easily achievable. The ADSL ARPU across the whole base is up to 26.8, which again is in excess of our guidance, which shows actually that TTNet is getting better value customers, despite the fact that we have lower number of customers overall than the guidance given weak competition. In terms of the number of employees, by the reporting period is down to 34,500, and this represents approximately 547 lines per employee, again increasing our operational efficiency in that respect. On the mobile side, I'll hand over to Junaid now on page 14.
Good afternoon. As you know that we have brought the challenge to the market since 2007, and still the challenge continues on the competition side. There was heavy competition during the first 9 months, and we will continue to challenge the market. We have given some initiatives. One was the flat bundle offers for promoting the high spenders to all directions, 500 and 1,000 minutes. Also, we launched campaigns stimulating prepaid customers to migrate to postpaid before the MNP mobile number portability. We had the Ramadan campaign in September for 500 free on-net minutes. And also we have several other tariffs on on-net, mainly on-net giving unlimited. We say it's Kamu, which is the unlimited on-net. We have also tariffs, again, based on on-net for SMEs and corporates. Moving to page 15, when we look at the growth on year-on-year basis, the market growth was 10%, and as aware, we have the growth 27%. And when we compared last quarter to this quarter, market growth was 3%, and we had the growth rate of 6%. And total market penetration reached to 92% in Q3, and we continue to increase our market share. And year-on-year basis, we added 2.5%, and now we are 79% on the market side. And also we had the growth from the last quarter by 0.7% we added on our market share. When we look at the revenue trend on a year-on-year basis, the market was growing on 9%, and we continued to grow on 20% level. And we almost doubled the revenues when compared to market growth. Moving to page 70, we look at the revenue and the highlights. Revenue, year-on-year basis, we increased revenue by 30%. And on the other side, we increased the EBITDA by 55%. It was 366 million TL during the end of third quarter. On the ARPU side, moving to page 18, on year-on-year basis, we have kept our growth, slight growth. And if you look at Q3 2008 blend ARPU, we have increased by 3%. On the other hand, on the previous, we have a slight decrease when compared to Q3 2007. Based on the reduction of the interconnection rate and dilutive effects of the increase in prepaid mix. And the ARPU was Q3 was 16.4 lira. On the mobile subscriber composition side, if we look at it, we have now 4 million postpaid subscribers and 7.7 million prepaid subscribers. And on the other side, when we look at the churn on year-on-year basis, there's a slight increase to 9.8%. However, it was the 1.4% increase when compared to previous quarter. It is mainly based on the, again, heavy competition before MMP in the market. On the blended MOU side, now we have 170 minutes usage at Q3, end of Q3. We had 9,708 sites end of Q3. We are on target. We are investing, and we are having investment not only the capacity but on the coverage side also. If you look at the network busy hour call drop rates, it is much better than year-on-year basis and the previous quarter. And when we look at the network busy hour call block rate, it is 25% better than the previous year. They're slightly higher than Q2 based on the seasonality and based on the optimization of the rollout. So on this network, with our call block, we should look at it in a wider spread, like yearly basis, not only quarter basis. There are changes up and down. And now we have covered 98.63% of the populated, more than 1,000 populated areas. We have the population coverage of 94.5% and service coverage of geographic coverage of 71.1%. And we have the edge penetration rate is 94.1%. I'll be passing to David Cook for the Türk Telekom financials. Thank you.
Okay, if we move on to page or slide 22, the consolidated P&L. I think the key things, following from what Dr. Duani said earlier, was our revenue growth year on year is 10%. We expect full year to end up high single digits, so drop back a little bit in Q4. In terms of EBITDA, we are where we said we would be at this stage. I think the key thing to note is the actual EBITDA lira year on year is in fact a growth. You'll notice almost 270 million increase in the actual EBITDA there. And as we've mentioned in our press release, the net profit actually is a slight decline year on year, mainly because we made a big exchange gain last year and we made a small loss this year. So that's playing around when we look at the balance sheet on the debt. A lot of our debt on the next page, slide 23, is dollar denominated, which holds us up to an FX risk. And of course, with the lira weakening in Q3 and weakening further now in Q4, it's impacting our net profit. If you look at the balance sheet, the only change is really from Q2. Obviously, reserves have gone up because of the profit in Q3. The other liabilities came down because of dividend. But if you look at the loans have gone up by 0.4 billion, but that's in the context of having paid out 0.9 billion of dividend in Q3. So in fact, we always have been doing, we are generating cash underlying the business, but what we're doing is distributing most of that back out as dividend each year. In terms of cash flow, on the next slide, slide 24, you can see that between Q3 year-to-date of 07 and 08, cash from the operations is slightly higher this year, but that higher cash is being absorbed by a higher level of capex. So basically the overall situation is there. The dividend's quite high this year. We've paid out 2.7 billion, whereas last year we paid out 2.6 billion. If we move forward in terms of the fixed line situation is our mid-single digit revenue growth, as we said, 6% here. Our EBITDA is at 49%, just where it was at the end of Q2. And our CapEx, we're at 700 million here. We're expecting, like we saw last year, a high CapEx in Q4. So we're sticking to the mid-single digit revenue position for the full year, and we're sticking to our guidance around EBITDA around 48% for the full year. If we then look at how the revenue is broken down on slide 26, again, not a surprise. What we see here is stability on the PSTN. It's down 1% year on year. But the big growth really is coming through from ADSL. We'll talk about mobile in a minute. But ADSL really is the big growth, 35% year on year. And other access is still coming through with the corporate data, and that hopefully should, our plan is that that will continue for the future and become a big business. Lease lines fairly flat, interconnection fairly flat. Mainly that's around the price decrease we had on 1st of April this year, about 10%, offset by some slight volume increases. And the other domestic revenue, the main reason for that growth is around the subsidiaries that we've got, Argela, Innova, and their revenue now showing through into our numbers. All their revenue goes through that line. The international is a nice solid growth, as we've said before, mainly generated from volume of traffic coming out of Germany. On the IFRIC 12, there's no revenue here. We expect quite a lot of revenue to come through on IFRIC 12 in Q4, which will have a negative impact on our EBITDA margin percentage, not the absolute EBITDA. If we look on slide 27 on OPEX, here we see a consistency in terms of the OPEX breakdown from when we saw in the first half. Personnel is slightly lower as a percentage of costs, interconnection slightly lower. The other is slightly up, but that's mainly driven by the utility expenses, which increased quite dramatically in the Q3 period. But basically, overall, what we're doing is managing our OPEX, as we always said we would do. As Dr. Duane said before, we've taken out a lot of staff during the year, about a net 4,000. We've got operation, the network side, headcount coming down. But then through our assist TT, our call center operation, and the subsidiaries, we've got staff growth. So it's a mixture of bringing down the network side and increasing headcount in our growth areas, TTNet for ADSL, assist TT for our call center services. As you know, we won a Turkish Airlines call center contract, which should come into operation in early 09. Now I'd like to hand you over to Adam Gura, CFO of VEA, for the mobile financials.
Okay, good afternoon. Our mobile revenues year-on-year compared with 2007 Q3 and 2008 Q3 has grown by 30%. We are on track for our guidance for the year-end, about 25% growth. Our operating expenses have increased by 23% as opposed to 30% increase in the revenues. That translates about the 55% growth year-on-year on the EBITDA level, reaching 366 million YPL, representing 23% EBITDA margin. The FX loss is 105 million YPL. Basically, in Q1, there was a big depreciation of Turkish lira, which was a little recovery in Q2 and fairly stable in Q3. But as you know, in October and November so far, Turkish lira has depreciated significantly against the U.S. dollar. And since we have U.S. dollar debt, we have the FX loss. Our CAPEX is 272 million YTL. We maintain the level of 17% of CAPEX to revenues ratio. And by the year end, we will be reaching the same level of CAPEX to sales revenue. On the next slide, 30% of our total OPEX. Cost of services sold is about 60% of our total OPEX, and yet the G&A expenses are about 10% of the total operating
campaigns with TTNet. On the mobile and fixed broadband side, we will have joint campaigns and we'll be working together. Based on
thank you very much for listening.
Okay, we're open to questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press the number one on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's the number one to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. The first question comes from the line of William Kirby. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Thank you. My company is Nebska Capital. Two questions, if possible, please. Firstly, bearing in mind just wage inflation, and secondly, your employee mix effect, i.e. the different types of staff you're recruiting, what sort of inflation should we see in wages per head across the company next year? And secondly, how much do you plan to spend, or how much do you expect to spend on your 3G license? Thank you.
Okay, this is Dave Cook. I think we can answer your first question, and clearly we can't answer your second question. But first question in terms of wage inflation, clearly a lot of our staff are union staff, and the negotiation on that contract will start in March. Well, sorry, the new contract comes into place March 2009. We're in the early days of those discussions, so clearly there's no position on that at the moment, so we can't say too much about that. In terms of our ex or civil servant staff, then the answer is that for next year it will be 8.5% that they will be paid. It's 4% beginning of the year, 4.5% in July, because it's determined by the government. But there's very few of our staff that are civil servants. The key is going to be the union negotiations, and clearly we can't say anything at this stage because those negotiations are in the early stages.
Okay. But will the employee mix effect be to reduce the average across your employees, or will you be recruiting more expensive employees next year?
Well, I think we won't talk too much about next year at this stage. I mean, in terms of, this is a Q3 08 call, but in terms of what we are doing this year, I think we've been saying for quite a while that we are bringing in some engineers and technicians, and we've been negotiating with the union some new wage structure for some of these junior engineers to come in. And obviously that's going to be beneficial for the blended rate. There's no doubt about that. So it should help. Whether it be material or not is doubtful, but any impact will be positive. And in terms of 3G license, just to be clear, the reason we can't give that is because there's an auction, and the auction starts in 2 weeks' time. So clearly we can't declare how much we're going to pay at the auction now.
Well, okay,
on 28th of November, you'll find out how much it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Chadwick. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
It's Tom Chadwick in London. Two questions. The first one relates to mobile number portability and the immediate aftermath of the launch. We've had a press release out from Turkcell this morning saying that they've added 74,000 additional subscribers on the back of it. Can you give any comments as to how your own performance is looking, and are you surprised that Turkcell has been so successful? That's the first question. Second question, looking at your EBITDA margin on your fixed line business, business in Q3. That appears to have jumped somewhat from Q2. Can you offer any explanation as to what's driven up the EBITDA margin at the fixed line side?
Let me start with the number portability. Yes, I believe it is early to announce that because early start what has been done, there were some incentives in the market to on the MMP side. As aware, we haven't given any given special incentives. We have added to ongoing tariffs we have and campaigns we have. So this is an early start to say that that has been done. But what I can see that we have, this is the fifth day, we have been acquiring what we want to get as a target. And on net basis, we are we will be going positive. So, but it is very early to say. But we have achieved at least for the 5 days what we want to do.
Okay.
In terms of your second question, as David Cook, I'll answer that one. In terms of the EBITDA on fixed line, you're right. It did jump up to around 52% in Q3. So your probably question is this the new underlying EBITDA of the fixed line? The answer is unfortunately no. There are two key items for Q3. One was, as we've talked about before, the mobile termination rates came down in April, but for Turkcell, we didn't get agreement to take the credit in Q2. So in Q3, we got two lots of credit. So we got the credit for Q2 and the credit for Q3. So effectively, we got a 2% one-off improvement in our EBITDA because of that. So the 52 comes down to 50. And then there's another factor, which is an accounting technicality, which is our staff took a lot of holidays in Q3.
Good.
So what that did is generate a big holiday pay vacation credit in the quarter, which will almost certainly reverse in Q4. And so that's, if you take those two factors out, actually our underlying Q3 is around 48%.
Is that holiday accrual, though, sort of, I mean, you would expect that to happen every year, or was there a specific reason why they all went on holiday?
Well, it's August in Q3, so it's nice and hot here. Yeah, we tend to see things like this happening. It's up to staff what they do. I think last year, if I remember last year, there seemed to be a lot of holiday taken in the first half of the year for some reason, which seemed very strange to us. But it'll come back. Our expectation is it'll come back and hurt us in Q4, and that's our expectation. But it's purely because people are taking lots of holidays. I mean, July, August, September, they are good months in Turkey to go on holiday.
Right. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Doğu Kafaoğlu. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Hello, this is Duygu Kalfoğlu calling from Garanti Securities in Istanbul. I'd like to ask about your CapEx breakdown. What is the breakdown for 2009 that you're planning? And also, you might have mentioned this before, but there was some bad connection. How do you plan to end 2008 in terms of CapEx? I think in the beginning of the year, your CapEx guidance was 1.3 billion, near 1.3 billion YTL. And how do you plan to end the year? And my second question is for Avea, for regarding 3G, what sort of product are you planning to launch for 3G? And if you can you give a little guidance about rates, about the package plans for 3G that you have in mind? Thank you.
Okay, on the fixed line CapEx, or generally your CapEx question, obviously fixed line is the larger part of it. As you know, historically, Türk Telekom's spending of CapEx has been actually slowed, usually due to material on the access network. We had a problem with our earlier contractors. We had a new contract last year, which was the global tender, and some 24 contracts were signed. And obviously, then we had the strike, which actually didn't really realize much deliverables by these contractors. And then, of course, they had some time to mobilize and be up and running in the earlier part of this year and to benefit from the good weather period. What we have noticed on the fixed line side is actually we are able to do a lot more work than we had anticipated for the course of this year. So what may happen on the CapEx side, depending on the progress of these contractors, that we did not actually scale back, because this is work that has to be done over a three-year period, and if we can finish it early, that actually is generally in our interest. So we did not actually slow down, except in areas that have not been considered to be urgent. So in that respect, we could say that on the CapEx side of the fixed line, we are probably doing the three-year contract in a shorter period of time, which may mean that we are spending a little bit more in the course of this year. That's on the fixed line side.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, just to put that in context, we said fixed line was $1.3 billion for the year. We still think we'll end up around there, but as Dr. Dwani just said, it could go slightly over. There are a lot of variables, FX, the copper price halved in the last few months, which obviously helps us. But and then we're trying to accelerate things. So we'll see how it goes, but it should be around the $1.3 billion. On the mobile side, we said we'll be $350 to $450 million. Again, we've got the same issue. We are looking at accelerating certain projects. We may go slightly over the $450 million, but we'll see how the year finishes. It's always tight when you spend a lot of CapEx in November, December. We know there's an economic crisis, but we feel that the right thing to do is invest in the right places and not cut back. To cut back at this stage would be the wrong thing. And we think globally there's a big discussion going on in telecom as whether people should cut back or not. And I think the jury's out as to which is the best approach. We think the best approach is not to cut back at this stage. Obviously, we'll have a look in 09. In terms of your first part of the question about CapEx breakdown for 09, I think we said, Dr. Dwani said at the beginning of the call, we'll give, after the Q&A, we'll give some initial guidance for 2009 then. So we'll leave that till then. In terms of mobile 3G,
on the 3G side, as you know, that the tender will be on the 28th of November, and we will be getting, we have our plan to get a license, of course, there. And the rollout will be not before then July. It will be a joint rollout. There will be a six-month period for all operators to launch at the same time. It will be mostly July or August time frame next year. On the products, of course, we have lots of products. As today, we are working with 260 business partners. First of all, those old products will be moved on to 3G platform to have a better, speedier service on the broadband. Most important thing is that we will have a joint work or regulation, of course. So that will be the important thing, that we can also combine our products and launch together. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Isaac Kolak. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Hi, I'm calling from Istanbul, through Stockbrokers. My question is, in your slide 4, you mentioned that the regulator is finalizing a model in mobile and fixed termination rates. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What's the implication and what's the model, actually? What does it imply for Turk Telecom? Thank you.
Sorry, can you just repeat? Are you talking about termination rates?
Yeah, on your slide 4, you said under a regulatory environment, you said that the regulator is finalizing an LRAIC models in mobile and fixed access termination rates. And I want to know what this model implies for Turk Telecom. What does that mean and how? What kind of a model is that? Is it positive for your revenue generation or anything like that? Thank you.
Okay, this is David Turk. In terms of the long-range average incremental cost models, these are standard throughout most of the industry. It's just in Turkey we haven't had them. The EEC provided some funding which enabled some work to begin this year on this. There's been a lot of work by the regulator on this. We're obviously working with the regulator on the fixed line and on the mobile side. So is Turkcell and Vodafone. They've come out with some initial models. What they do is they're economical-based models. They're a sort of a bottom-up model, which basically means they ignore our own financials and look what's a best route. At the moment, it looks fairly reasonable. We're in discussions with the regulator on this. There's a sort of scorched node model, which is perfectly okay for us, and we think the result will be quite reasonable. And it will give the regulator what they should have, which is a cost-based approach to things. And that's the best way of going forward. So we don't see any issues. If anything, what it should do is maybe support the mobile termination rate reductions that should be coming through. So it'll give a good, solid economic basis for the regulator to put those through, and it could reduce some of the fixed rates, but we would expect the mobile rates to be coming down a lot more severe, and therefore generally it'd be a benefit for the company.
I see. And when do you expect this to be effective?
Well, I mean, the regulators said they'd build a model. What the regulator has not said is whether they actually use them. So we're not sure exactly what the regulator is going to do with these models. Clearly, we don't think they'll be finalized by the time we look at the February-March period for changing the termination rates in 2009, but we'd expect they'd be in place before the 2010 ones. But it's going to depend on the discussions. I mean, we're at the early stages at the moment.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Anna Bosson. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Yes, hi, it's Anna Bosson here in London from UniCredit. A couple of questions. The first one is that your international settlement revenues are still rising strongly. Can you talk about the outlook there and what you expect to happen? And also, if you can talk a little bit about the MOU decline in the third quarter and what caused that and what you expect to happen. I believe Turkcell had a very big increase in MOU, so can you talk through a little bit more about that? And finally, were there severance expenses in the third quarter and how much they were for the 9 months as well, if you have such information. Thank you.
Okay. For the mobile MOU, there is a slight decrease compared year-on-year, compared to the third quarter last year, from 174 to 170 minutes, basically. And there is a decline in the from second quarter to third quarter, that's correct. As you know, a majority of our MOU is on the unrated MOUs on the institutional segment. So we don't see a reduction in the MOU, rated MOUs. Moreover, because of the Ramadan period, actually, this is a low season and MOU is decreasing. That's the main reason. So our rated MOUs, there is no decline. We are fairly stable.
Do you see some improvement going forward then? If it was just Ramadan, should we see a stronger growth?
Yes, generally, I mean, year end there is a pickup, slight pickup. But after Ramadan, there is a slight increase, but I mean, it's in line with our budget assumptions, with our guidance.
Okay, thanks.
In terms of international revenue, yeah, you're right, it's a good growth, Q3 year-to-date. We said earlier, this is mainly driven by the actions we took last year in terms of developing the market, primarily international traffic coming in from Germany. When we look at Q4, we won't see such a huge year-on-year growth because clearly it started Q3, Q4 last year. So the year-on-year will probably not be as robust as a 23% year-on-year growth. In terms of your third question, I didn't quite catch it. What was your third question?
Severance costs. You were reducing your staff numbers nicely. I just wondered if there were costs incorporated into the P&L, which I could sort of strip out to look at your basic costs.
You mean the severance costs?
That's
associated
right, yeah.
With, yeah, there are severance costs coming through. In Turkey, generally, what we do is we pay 2 months' salary for each person going. Now, obviously that, well, let me not say obviously. In terms of Turk Telecom, civil servants, when they go back to government, we don't actually have any severance costs. In fact, what we do is we get a credit, because what we do is we release our end-of-service benefit accrual that we've built up. But excluding those, for all other people, it tends to be a 2 month salary we pay. And that's buried in the personnel costs, which is why personnel costs sometimes fluctuate on a quarter.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Emily Clark. Please go ahead announcing your company and location.
Hi, it's Emily Clark from BlackRock in London. I was just wondering if the payment for the 3G license will be made from Avaya or from the Turk Telecom parent, and if it was from Avaya, whether you've started negotiations to raise that debt yet.
I mean, 3G license will be paid by Avaya.
And do you expect that to be a problem, raising that debt? Do you think it will be easy to raise it?
No, we are in discussions at the moment. You're right. We will be raising extra funding for Avea. Obviously, those are discussions that have been going on now for a month or so about how we're going to do that. Clearly, we won't disclose that on the call at the moment because obviously it's private between ourselves and our bankers.
Yeah.
But no, we will be doing. We don't see a problem at this stage.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Chadwick. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
A quick sort of follow-up question. Given the nature of the currency movement in the fourth quarter, there is likely to be a fairly substantial decline in the Q4 net income. Would it be reasonable to assume that you're still prepared to look at an interim dividend as a way of avoiding a substantial reduction in the 08 dividend?
I think the only reasonable answer to this very reasonable question is that we will wait and see what happens at the end of the year, since this is a statistical issue, you know, what happens on that particular closing point in time against the last quarter. And based on this, the company will make a decision as appropriate. And that's really all I can say at this time. There is no reason not to do the interim dividend if it is deemed appropriate by the board of the company, and that's really all we can say at this time.
Okay, thanks.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Anna Basson. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. I just had one small follow-up question. Fixed line tariff increases, you put in some tariff increases this year. What do you think you might be able to do next year? And obviously, if the lira is weaker, is it something you'd look to try and bring tariffs up in foreign currency terms, or is it not really something you're looking at?
In terms of tariffs, I presume you mean the PSDN tariff?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I think our position has been, what we've been saying is on the PSDN tariffs, we are definitely going to be looking at increasing the rental fees. We said we've got to do that because we've got a structural problem on the access deficit that was inherited in the end of 2005. So this year we put up the fixed fees by 5%, we put usage by 5%. Next year we'll be doing some price increases. Now we're in just putting together what we're going to be talking to the regulator about, but what we don't want to do is preempt what we're going to propose to the regulator. That wouldn't be quite proper, but what we can say is definitely we will be proposing rental fee increases next year.
Brilliant, thanks very much.
Just to build on that, by the way, we are still talking here in terms of inflation, which is the basis on which we measure the price increases, and it doesn't actually consider the exchange rate in itself. Just to be clear on that point.
Thank you, that's great.
We appear to have no further questions, so I hand the conference back to you.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for this call. What I'd like to do at this point, I'd like to mention something in relation to the staff. There was a question in relation to the salary increases, and just for clarification, what has happened actually here in the company is that we have made some recent recruits in the company, and we have offered some incentives for people to take early retirement. So we have had some good results, which we will report at the end of the fourth quarter over this period. Through this, actually, we have recruited about 2,100 recent recruits in one shot. And a material piece of information here, which is interesting, is that these employees include technicians, about 1,400 or so, who actually are technically, not all of them, but a good number of them, are potentially, obviously, union members. And what we did, we were able to negotiate with the union a reduction in the entry-level salaries that we are paying. Now, what we did in the negotiations with the union last year was basically to agree a reduction of those salaries. What we were able to do is to reduce those further in exchange for actually making the recruitment, which is something that we wanted to do. We wanted these people in the company, and that has been actually a good success. When we report our fourth quarter results, you will see actually a very good development in that regard. Obviously, the incentives have been taken, so we've had a good number of people accepting to leave, and obviously we've managed to recruit a very large number of young, new people into the company. And I'll just make that general statement. We'll give you more information at the end of the year, but that's very much in line with our general comfort guidance that we were giving, that we were moving in this direction of actually downsizing and recruiting younger, new people at actually market rates. And now Mr. David Cook will give you some guidance for next year.
Okay. We've now basically finished the Q3 08 investor call, but what we've been saying to a lot of you is that during this call we would give you some guidance for 2009. So if I start with the fixed business, there's about 13 guidance notes here. There's a lot, so get your pens at the ready. In terms of the revenue for fixed line, what we're looking at, like we have for 08, we're looking at mid-single digit growth. In terms of EBITDA, the EBITDA margin, we're looking at very high 40% margin. So very consistent with what we've seen in 2008, 2007, and 2006. In terms of CapEx for the fixed line, we're expecting the CapEx to be similar to 2008. In terms of PSTN access lines, we're expecting a slight decline in the number of access lines in 2009. In terms of ADSL connections, we're expecting around a 20% increase in ADSL connections, we're talking wholesale here, by the end of 2009. Again, like we said for this year, it's assuming some strong competition coming into TTNet, and as Dr. Dwani mentioned earlier, the lowering of taxes, or the SCT tax, for internet, which has been almost promised by the government. In terms of ARPU, we're looking at a PSTN ARPU stable with 2008 levels. If you recall, 2006, 2007, we've been seeing declines. 2008, we stabilised. 2009, we expect to continue that stabilisation of ARPU on PSTN. On ADSL, we expect some growth on the ADSL ARPU, again, following on from the reversal of the trend that we've seen here in 2008, where we've got some nice growth in 2008 on the ARPU, against where in 2006, 2007 we saw decline. In terms of the mobile business segment, what we're expecting is revenue growth for 2009 somewhere between 20 to 25%. Now, bear in mind on mobile, obviously we're number three player in terms of subscribers, but we feel comfortable giving this sort of guidance, even though other people aren't. In terms of EBITDA, our percentage margin, we're looking for a slight improvement on 2008. In terms of CapEx, clearly we're not going to give a CapEx number at this stage because there's a 3G auction in 2 weeks' time, so that's going to impact what the actual final CapEx will be. In terms of ARPU, we're expecting an improvement on the 2008 level. If you recall, 2008, we said, will be stable with 2007. In terms of subscribers numbers, we expect to be over a 15% growth, but the amount over 15% will be depend on the multi-SIM usage levels. Clearly, the fewer multi-SIMs that are on the market, the lower the overall subscriber growth needed to generate the revenue target we've mentioned. The result of all that is that from a consolidated position, we're looking at revenue growth for next year in the range of 8 to 10%. In terms of EBITDA, we're looking for an overall EBITDA margin to slightly improve from the 2008 level, final year 2008 level. And in terms of CapEx, clear, again, we can't give guidance on consolidated level because we haven't got mobile CapEx guidance because of 3G auction. That is the end of the guidance 2009, and I'm sure in the next few months you'll be asking us questions about those.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. What we will do is when we do report the end-of-year figures to you, we will be filling in the gaps that we did not give you today in relation to the 3G part and the CapEx on the mobile side. Our target always is to give you as much guidance as we can, and I believe that will give you more reason to answer, to give us good questions. We'll give you answers. That's the way it's going to go. Thank you all very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.